Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
Welcome to Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. So this week, Jenny and I wanted to talk about dating, which is kind of a euphemism for what we actually want to talk about, which is sex and double standards and what our grandmas told us not to do in order to get married. It's never like a chill conversation. It becomes like a conversation about like cultural nuance and it can never be a chill. It can never be chill. Like for me, I saw dating from two perspectives growing up because I did high school in Venezuela and I did middle school in the States. Right. And then I did college.
That's a mind fuck.
Yeah. It's a mind
fuck.
That's
a lot.
Because in middle school, I was like this, like I'm a late bloomer. You know, I hadn't touched a boy's hand. And then all I kept hearing was like, oh, my God, did you freaking hear Alexis gave Justin a BJ in the school bus? And I'm like, I don't even know what B or J stand for. I am still watching.
I thought it was like, BJ from like Barney and Friends. I'm like, BJ? She gave him a BJ stuffed plushie from show?
That's so sweet. That's so romantic. But like it was so crazy here how romance was gone. Like there was no romance. It was all hooking up even at like the age of 13.
I see. But have you seen the show Pen 15? I've never related harder to a show because the show takes place the same exact year that I was in seventh grade and they're in seventh grade and all of their experiences. And I think it took me a while to come to the conclusion that the reason why me and my best friend were seen as these like nerds wasn't because we were super smart or like pushing up our glasses and into science. No, we weren't that kind of nerd. We were just nerdy because we were innocent. Mm-hmm. We weren't thinking about putería at the age of two. Like, you know what I mean? There were girls watching Melrose Place and I was still watching The Big Comfy Couch on PBS. And playing pretend.
Pretend with dolls. I was still playing with dolls. Like it was just like I felt like here. And I've listened to some podcasts and read quite a bit about this because it was such a cultural phenomenon to see, and I saw it in college too, the hookup culture being so detached from respect and love and how it was perceived as women being empowered in some sense. But I never felt like that. I always felt very like disempowered in the hookup culture personally for me because I'm like a very sensitive lady. And like I was just it for me. I was just like, why would you do that to Justin, Alexis? Why would you give him that without like respect and love and care?
And Mina, I was the same way. I was such a prude in that sense. But I know prude has a lot of negative connotations attached to it, but that's what I was called, you know, because I was also a little sensitive Florecita, and I was about love, and I don't know how you have your Alexis, and I had my Gigi, who was like, I got fingered in the boys' locker room,
and I was always like,
and then I got
my
ears pierced. I don't know.
It was, which is like, you know, if that's what they want to do, whatever, fine. I feel like for children, that's like a really complex issue, and like if as long as you're either going to therapy or talking to your parents about it, like I don't care, but like. It felt like such a pressure to, it felt like sex was synonymous to romance it wasn't even synonymous. It replaced romance. And then I moved back to Venezuela and I was like, I had war stories. Do you know what I mean? I was like, yo, I went to a sleepover and the girls were practicing how to like give oral sex and I freaked out and called my mom and she picked me up. And everyone in my grade was like, yo, that's crazy. Cause like, yes, there's like stuff that goes on, but people are in serious relationships. Like my friends were in relationships for like 2 years by the time they were 15 and the parents knew each other. And I remember when I had my first boyfriend, it was my uncle's best friend's son and everyone knew each other. Mm. And like, he came over to my house for dinner. And when he came to pick me up, he said hello to my mom. And it was just like, it was like the antithesis of what I saw in middle school, which was like, oh my God, I have a boyfriend. My mom doesn't know. We don't talk to each other. And we just make out once in a while. Here it's like the families converge. They speak about their children. They connect. Mm. The mothers talk sometimes. And it was just such a different experience.
Yeah, I mean, my whole experience was just Miami, mm-hmm. and Miami culture. And a lot of girls my age were in a rush to grow up. Mm-hmm. It was all about pushing up the tetas and rolling up the skirts, and everyone's touching each other's BBs left and right. And it's, you know.
Touching each other's BBs left and right.
Touching each other's peepees. And like, I was so, look, I'm gonna be real. My mom never told me what sex was. I would watch all of these telenovelas and imagínate, I'm like this kid watching telenovelas yet. So it's okay to do that, but not okay to talk about sex. And almost every year, I feel, I would come to my mom and ask her, I'm like, so what's sex? And she'll do this. She's like, what do you think it is?
What? Like, it's Santa? Like, what is this mythical creature? Like, there's a very clear explanation.
What do you think it is? Yeah, I guess she wanted to test and see if I knew anything. And then I was just so innocent and dumb. I would only go by what I saw in novelas, which was always una mujer en cuerusa in the bed with like a sheet over her chest, and you can tell she's maybe naked underneath. And that's all I knew, right? So I would tell my mom, well, I know you get naked and you go, this is how I sound. No, I sounded deeper than this when I was a kid. Mom, can you tell me about sex? I love how I give myself this little chipmunk voice. You didn't sound like that.
That's so funny.
But I was like, oh, you get naked. And then my mom's like, uh-huh. And then when I had nothing else to give her, she wouldn't go further. She'd just say, well, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, that seems like you need to know
a bit
more.
She never told me anything.
I don't think in biology books it's like, oh, this is a procreation for humans. Naked in bed. That's not biology. I mean, that's crazy.
Well,
that
I didn't
you
know
had
what
that.
A penis looked like until much later because I, again, remember, I went to a Christian school. There was no sex education. Mm-hmm. So I had not a single clue mm-hmm. what anything about my own genitals or anybody's genitals. I was just coasting by.
Dude,
I just didn't know what was
well in Venezuela, por ejemplo, like I was very lucky because my mom was always very open with me. My dad is like they didn't do the typical thing where it's like, ay, la hija is this beautiful flower that can be soiled, and like, you know, sex is something that you don't no toki in the housey. Like, no, like in my house, my mom was like, hey, this is what sex is, you know, like you're empowered, you need to be respected though, any questions you can come to me. And I was shocked because wow. So many of my girlfriends had no idea of anything. And they didn't tell their parents anything. They didn't ask anything. And there was always this pressure to not be considered una puta. So,
yeah,
like, and that was the number one. So they would, like, if they had boyfriends, they'd hook up. But then they'd be like, no, pero please don't tell anyone. I can't tell my mom. I can't be considered una puta. Like, if I'm considered una puta, my life is over. And I'm like, so wait, so what is? It's like the extreme. Like, on one side, I'm in middle school. It was like everyone was just hooking up without any consciousness of what the
Everyone's
repercussions
like,
were.
Slut, you're such a slut.
And it's like, oh my God, I am. And slut. then Venezuela, it was like even when you had a serious relationship and you were respectful of each other and whatever, the girls in my life were still petrified to be considered putas. That like. Like women's sexuality was not in their hand. Like it wasn't in their hands. It was something perceived by other people. And it was something that other people had control over to tell you what you were and weren't. And And I remember being afraid to be considered una puta, like kissing my boyfriend at a birthday party. And I'm like, oh my God, now everyone thinks I'm a hoe. And in retrospect, I'm like,
I was the opposite.
Really?
I would lie.
Wait, what?
Because
what
I mean? Felt in in high school, Mira, I didn't lose my virginity until I was like 21. Okay, mm-hmm. And I was. Again, I'm a sensitive type. I was very much about I only want to give, even if it was first base, it had to be with someone who I had a relationship with, wasn't like just some hookup. Like that was just me. I was this hopeless romantic. I blame the movie Moulin Rouge. Sue me.
Which was, by the way, just it's about a brothel, but okay.
But all you need is love, Joanna.
Okay, all right. I'll give that to you.
And I, but I, yeah, so I had, you know, all these romantic thoughts, and I'm like, I'm not going to give just anybody my vajayjay. And so,
you just said vajayjay.
You know, going to, imagínate, you go to a private Catholic school, everyone there is super horny, and all the guys, to me, I thought the only way a guy is going to have any interest in me is if they believe that I am a slut. And that's kind of...
Oh my God, that's so the opposite of... That's the opposite of what I saw. That's
yeah,
crazy.
I would say some really nasty things. I would say some nasty things around school. And I didn't care. I almost wanted the reputation that I was una putica.
Oh my God, shut up.
And guys started believing it. Like, oh my, some of the stuff I can't even say here. It's too explicit. But
that's so funny.
But you know, certain dudes in my school started believing that I was, tú sabes, like as easy. My abuela would say, una cualquiera, una mujer de la calle, una whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, easy. That I was easy. And I was the opposite of easy.
Wow. So like, you had like easy. This, what an ironic twist. Because in my high school life, like not in my high school specifically, but some of the girls I knew from other high schools, specifically like Catholic high schools, like all girls schools, I'm not making this up. They would literally be like, oh, I'm a virgin. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't really care. And then they're like, yeah, I'm a virgin because I've only had anal. And I'm like, that is, you just skipped 8 steps. Like, you went to, like, advanced sex.
You went right there.
What? And she's like, they were like, yeah, because, like, I'm still, like, pure. And I'm like, what an absurd definition for purity, one. And two, what? Are you talking about? I mean, I think it's so interesting in both cultures, and you had it in your culture that like you had to be something you weren't to be considered acceptable. But for
example, by the men in my grade, yes.
Yeah, but then you at home probably had the opposite problem.
Oh yeah, I mean, my family was quite the opposite of your family. There was a lot of importance placed on virginity. Extreme, extreme importance. To the point that for a while, I was actually waiting till marriage. I would tell all my boyfriends, and I would get dumped. I would get dumped immediately. There was one guy that I dated. I think he was my first boyfriend, and he tried to finger me in a movie theater. And the moment his thumb got near my crotch, I like swatted his hand, and he broke up with me a week later at my best friend's quinceañera.
I mean, honestly, good for you, Jenny. Like, it seems like you were pressured to do something you didn't want to do. Also in a movie theater.
Well, yeah.
And then meanwhile, in Venezuela, like my first boyfriend, he had to like write me poems, and like, it was like this huge impulsive romance. And I don't know what it is about Latino culture. There's a lot of negative stuff about dating in Latino culture, a lot of pressure about women not being perceived as putas, a lot of like double standards that we want to get into. But like, I will say there was this understanding that there is romance. That like romance was still important, and I didn't see it amongst my American, I was gonna say coworkers, but like I was in school. I'm so old. Like there was like I did get poems, I did get like flowers sent to me, and you know like
yeah.
I mean, I guess I prefer this, but there are problems here because I'm afraid of being considered a whore all the time. Like, that was like, it was on the, in the front of my head all the time. I'm like, well, I can't. Oh my God, what if they think I'm a slut? Oh my God, what if they think I'm a whore? What if they, and I remember.
So much energy towards
so
this.
So much energy.
So much.
Exhausting. So much. And I remember, it's also like the first word that people think of when they don't like you, like online or whenever. It's like women, I've been called una puta all the time. It just like, if I disagree with someone on the stance of abortion, like, do you know what I mean? Or like,
you're a puta.
It's like literally the go-to word when you don't like a woman or when a woman is despreciable. Here it's bitch, there it's puta, it's whore. And you know, that tells you everything about purity and like how women, the worst woman is a whore. Is what it is. And I'm like, really?
Essentially, yeah. She could do far worse things, and but whoreism is
like, why not call women the serial epitome. Killers? Yeah. Why not be like, oh, that's serial killer?
I know. And no one, I never see any men call each other hoe and slut and
Jenny, isn't it bizarre that women, o sea, hasta el sol de hoy, literally today, your value is for a lot of people as predicated on how much sex or if you've had sex. It is the most absurd, and it's so in contrast,
I know,
to so many of my guy friends who, you know, I'm not saying this is right, but when I was 15, a lot of my friends, not a lot, I'd say a handful of my friends, their dads would be like, you're 15, I'm gonna call a prostitute and you're gonna have sex with a prostitute. Because a man, you're a man now, and now you need to have sex with a prostitute. And I'm like, I'm sorry. So you think women are whores who have sex, but now you're literally calling a sex worker to have sex with your son. So how, you can't, you're eating your cake and having it too, honey. If you're going to say,
no, it's not.
What are you, ubícate en la vida. ¿Cómo, so now your son is having sex with a sex worker. And clearly, like, you commoditize sex and you are incorporating yourself into this economy, and then simultaneously you're calling a girl making out with her boyfriend in the corner a whore. It's like,
yeah.
Mira, pana, o sea, ubícate en la vida, brother. ¿Qué es eso?
No, and claro, that's like an extreme example, right? But I would say the usual thing is they'll get condoms for their birthday or some shit, or they'll, you know, they'll be encouraged to start dating and to start having sex or go to a strip club. And these fathers and these male figures get all excited, you know, they're like, hey, that's my boy going to stick his head in some tetas. Hey. And but especially what really grinds my gears is households with men and women, you know, brother, sister. And, you know, that wasn't my household because it's just me and my sister. But I had a lot of friends who had that dynamic, and it was not fucking fair. I mean, here's a really great example with a brother and sister dynamic where the brother was always allowed to bring his girlfriend home and into the room, close the door, and do whatever the fuck they wanted. No one cared. No one asked questions. They just let him do whatever he wanted because he's a freaking dude. Meanwhile, the sister could not let any boys in. They had to be sitting on the couch like a pair of robots just watching TV with everyone else in the family swarming around them.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't even put his arm around her. And even other instances where the sister had a kid with her baby daddy and was still not even allowed to bring the baby daddy over.
Even though they had
to her room.
They had made a biological
they had a kid.
Child. So
they
we can
had
conclude
a
she's
child
not the Virgin
together.
Mary. You know. She
yes.
already.
And yet.
That.
The same rules were applied, and I get, my blood boils because it gets me so angry.
It does.
And I think a lot of this is also rooted in homophobia.
I 100%
I think
agree.
That's another reason why a lot of these male figures have such an investment in their sons' sex lives.
Because they don't want them to be gay.
They want to make sure. Yeah. They don't want them to be gay.
It is.
They
want
to make sure that they're interested in women.
Even if it means calling a sex worker and like making him at the age of 15, which is like, I think
that's
illegal.
Messed up.
You know, I think it does have a lot to do with homophobia. It is this fear that your child isn't macho or man enough. And that is in and of itself also, that must be exhausting as a boy. You know, I always talk to my mom about her upbringing because she's sort of broke norms left and right in how she raised me and how my dad raised me in Latin America. She was always the mom that my friends would go and ask questions, and she'd be very honest and never shamed me in any way, shape, or form. But she said it's because of her upbringing. She got married at 19 mm-hmm. to her first husband because she could not leave the house. She could not do anything. My grandma would listen to her phone calls. My mom was consistently berated and judged. And I got an inkling and a piece of this one time when my mom had to go on a business trip and my grandma came to quote unquote take care of me. I was 16 at the time. My brother was staying with, I did not need my grandma there, but she was like, give your grandma something to do. She'll come take care of you. And I loved my grandma. I loved her and she was wonderful. She's cool. Era cubana también. And, I remember I was, part of the drama club and we were doing Molière's Tartuffe. And I got picked up by my friend's mom. I was dropped off at 8 p.m. because of traffic. And I go into my apartment and my grandmother's sitting there. And she was like, what were you doing? And I was like, I was at school. And then I was memorizing my dumb ass lines for some old play no one's going to like. But I like because I like Molière. Okay, I'm a nerd. And she's like, What do you think the people who work in this building will think of you coming this late on a Wednesday? I didn't understand what she was saying because my parents would never question me or my decisions or, you know, especially on a school night coming home after working my ass off to be part of a play. And she was like, I really hope que no estás puteando, that you're not whoring around. And it made me feel so dirty and gross and awful and like bad about myself. And I was like, oh my God, my mom lived through this her entire life. No wonder she's raising her kid in the complete opposite way. It was shocking to me to feel what my mom felt growing up. And a lot of my friends still felt that way getting home from school late, or the mom found out she had a boyfriend, or the dad found out she kissed a boy. You know what I mean?
I will say for me, it wasn't it was never that extreme mm-hmm. for sure. I believe my mom definitely placed a lot of trust in me, but again, she did place a lot of importance on virginity. And I think it came from a good place. You know, my mom again was not controlling in that way, like your grandma, but we would get that talk a lot. She would always tell me that men only want to marry virgins, that if you start sleeping around or even lose your virginity to one person and then you fall in love with the next guy, he's not going to marry me because, as we've been saying, I am soiled. I am dirty. Soy una sucia. I'm just, you know, second helping. And men want a pure virgin wife. And that is what my family led me to believe, which, by the way, my dad never cared. my dad was the opposite of the stereotypical, like, you know, Latino man, you know, wearing the pants and like my daughter,
whatever.
My dad
was not. Just listen to your mom.
My dad never cared. My dad literally never cared because, again, my dad was not a virgin when he married my mom at a young age. I always questioned that. I'm like, well, why is nobody giving a damn about abuelo and dad? What is it about our vaginas? Like, look, it's super dope to have a vagina. You know, it's multifunctional and, you know, we miracles and stuff and great. But coño, like tampoco así. Like this whole like it's a flower. I hate it.
Well, the whole,
it makes me
the
feel
whole, I mean it's it, you know, going back to like how I first saw and experienced, not me personally experienced, but I first saw sex up close in middle school, which was women doing whatever to get boys' attention, and then mm-hmm. women lying about their sexuality to be perceived as pure. Both things are the same. They're different, but they have the same inherent issue, which is women not being in control of themselves and of their sexuality and doing whatever they feel comfortable doing, and that not affecting their value as a human being. And it's such a,
yeah,
I wish I could have told my younger self that, like, it doesn't matter what it just it whatever you do to make yourself feel good and respected and okay about, then that's what is okay. And no one else's opinion matters. It's yeah. But it's hard to, when you're being told left and right, and that your value is that of a used car, you know? Like,
I know. And it scares you. It scares you. And there's also the fear. It's kind of the fear that, you know, people put into you when it comes to Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. There's a virginity, like, Jesus is the virginity Santa Claus, and he's watching, and, you know, he's going to be sorely disappointed in you. So when I did early on make the decision, which I obviously did not follow through with, to wait until marriage,
God bless
you. A lot of it was based on religion, and I'm gonna disappoint God. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna disappoint God. And, you know, my mom, you know, she placed a lot of pride in the fact that she married as a virgin. And look, that's great for her. I think that's beautiful that she had that with my dad, and same with my abuela, with her, you know, with my abuelo. But I don't think it lessens who I am as a person because I did not wait until marriage. That's all.
Jenny, this whole idea of, like, you know, you were talking about, you know, un hombre no te va a querer, un hombre no va a querer casarte contigo, whatever. Like, it even goes beyond sex. Like, I, you know, I was petrified by my same grandma because I have a potty mouth. Like, I'm like really outspoken. Yes, I'm a little vulgar. I'm not cute. Like, I have one, I have a cousin that is 1 month older than me, and she's really sweet and presented in front of my grandma. I'm not saying she's like this, but she presented in front of my grandma as very sweet and pure and pristine. She's like a badass, cool chick. But in front of my grandma, she was just this like sweet, whatever. And then I would come along and I'd be like, coño, este tráfico de mierda, no joda, coño, que cagada, la política está no joda, que mama huevada es esta. Like, I'd be like, come like guns blazing with like crazy opinions and like bad words. And one time my grandma, I graduated college with a triple degree, and my grandma took me by the hand, and I was like, oh my God, my grandma's going to say she's proud of me because I graduated college with 3 degrees. This is great. And she was like, mira, mija, te voy a decir algo. If you keep talking the way that you talk, you're never going to marry un hombre de sociedad.
What are we going to do if you don't marry a society man?
Secret society?
I don't know what that means. What does that mean? What
are you talking about?
Un hombre de sociedad. Are we in Bridgerton?
Are we in fucking Bridgerton? Do you think my grandma asked me about, like, what Molière play I was doing and what I thought about, like, you know, Italian theater in comparison to French theater or what? No. No,
but
she just wanted to know if I was a virgin or not. And I'm like, I'm way more interesting than my vagina. I my brain is pretty cool. Why don't you ask me about that? Lady, no, I love you, grandma.
What a lot of these. Yeah.
Que pa descanse, abuelita. Te quiero mucho. Pero dude, I hope you're in heaven learning shit.
Por favor. I hope Jesus is like, lady, please.
I hope Jesus was like, you were pretty tough on the women in your life. Like, you know, this is and then now she's like my guardian angel, and she's like a hyper feminist guardian angel. I like to believe that. Speaking of things we do that our grandmothers think will destroy our reputation, last week I was hungover. And I tested Jenny on the different words for hangover that exist in Spanish. And you guys sent us a few emails, and we wanted to go through some of them with you guys today.
A bunch of you sent us this word, which is chuchaqui. It's from Ecuador and derived from Quechua. It describes what you feel after chewing on coca leaves.
I gotta say, no, I think chuchaqui sounds too wonderful. Like, it sounds like the opposite of what a hangover sounds like. It's like, oh my God, that's too chatty. It sounds like, oh my God, let's go on a hike. Like, I'm ready to party. I'm ready to
chatty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diego from Chile sent us de caña, which basically means hollow stick, which I guess it's like hangover means... Mm. Which I guess it means that, like, when you're hungover, you feel like a hollow stick. But the irony is that caña in Venezuelan means alcohol. So I guess for me, what it sounds like is of alcohol. I don't know. I wish this word was weirder, to be honest with you, because it is Chile. But this is pretty tame. Okay, Chile, it this is. Isn't that
Actually,
weird.
Actually, yeah.
This isn't that weird. Congratulations. And we got two, I don't know how many German listeners we have, but we got two submissions about German words for hangover, and they're both cat related. One of them is Katted, which is just male cat. And then the other one is Katzenjammer, which means like a cat wail, like the sound of a cat, like, what the hell? What the fuck are cats doing in Germany? We love hearing from you guys. We read your emails. And for this episode, if you guys want to send us what you've heard your grandma or your mom or your grandfather tell you about dating that now seems ridiculous, please send us an email at hyphenated@pitaya.fm.
We absolutely love receiving your emails, and yes, we do in fact read every single one of them, even though we don't have time to read all of them out loud on the show, but please keep them coming. I think it's great. You're all like our long lost primos and primas.